Amen. We're continuing on with our series on living in the more than enough. And when I was getting ready for this one this week, the Lord was reminding me of a story about King David. It's not one that I've heard a lot of preaching on. In fact, when I was telling Luke about it this morning, he goes, "They brought donkeys for what?" But it was a story about when King David is king and Absalom is coming to take over and to dethrone, basically, King David. And so King David and his household are fleeing from Absalom. They really just took nothing but the clothes on their back and ran. It's a very sad story, but in those days, if you were next in line, it was not uncommon for you to overthrow whoever was above you. Absalom was like the pearl of David's heart. David loved Absalom. He loved Solomon, but he really loved Absalom. And you see later on when Absalom dies, the depth of grief that he goes through for his son. He would rather just walk away and let the Lord put whoever wanted to be king, than for having his armies go after Absalom. Anyway, so David is fleeing for his life. So it's definitely a time of distress. It's definitely a time of lack in his life. But David was a child of God. He says he was a man after the Lord's own heart, right? And so the Lord didn't let him leave with nothing. Somebody say amen. Because there are going to be times in our lives, I was looking over this list, living in the more than enough in family situations. We saw that the first week, where if you have more than enough, then you don't have to have strife in your family, right? When it comes time to inherit something, or the family's blessed with a huge amount of money, or a decision of do we go here, do we go there, you don't have to stress because the Lord has given you more than enough. Amen? And so you're able to be able to give that to the other people and say, you decide. You know, that would rock some families that I know of if one brother or one sister would say, okay, you just decide, right? Because the world is after theirs. I want mine, right? And so we can avoid strife in our families by having more than enough. The next way we see living in more than enough is in the masses, right? We saw Jesus has all these 5,000 men plus women plus children that come to hear him speak, and the Lord provides more than enough for them all to eat just a little bit? No, they ate until they were filled or full is the word right there. And then there were 12 baskets left over. There was more than enough. So God is able to even bless the masses. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we are Christians and we are in America, I believe that's why America is still being blessed. Is the righteous are still standing up for righteousness. Amen. In fact, I heard a story not long ago from a man who knows of, there are four or five of these very, very, very wealthy men that meet once a year in this certain place in the world to discuss how they want to influence the world and what they want to do with their money. And so he was sharing how that in COVID, they said, let's test and see if we can get the world to do exactly what we want them to do. But guess what happened? They'd counted out Christians. And in fact, some of the minutes from that meeting that he was able to see at one time, I don't know how, but he was able to see them, they said in black and white, we didn't prepare for Christians. And because we didn't prepare for Christians, things did not turn out like we expected. Okay, so Christians, we make a difference to the masses. Amen? Because we are here, we make a difference. Living in the more than enough you have in times of lack, still you can have more than enough. We saw that last week. There was a famine. There was lack. Did the widow lack during the famine? No. Why? Because she honored the Lord first, right? By taking care of the prophet. We saw her live in the more than enough, not just for her and her son, but for her family. Amen? Your family can be blessed through you. That's exciting when you think about that. Amen? And today we're going to look at this, living in the more than enough in hard times. David was definitely going through a hard time in his life. It was not easy. It was hard. He's fleeing for his life. He has his family with him, and they're leaving town with nothing, basically, just the people. And it says in 2 Samuel 16 and verse 1, and when David was a little past the top of the mountain, how many people know sometimes you got to get a little bit past the top of your mountain to see your miracle? Amen. We've got to keep pushing. We've got to keep standing. We've got to keep going in faith. Amen. And it says, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who is Saul's son, who met him with a couple of saddled donkeys and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruit, and skins of wine. So he's bringing David provision. The Lord is using Ziba to be able to bless David and his household. Somebody say amen. The Lord is providing more than enough. Now turn over one chapter, chapter 17 and verse 27. David is still going on, and you know what happened between these two chapters? He's had people come to support him that he's had to turn back. But he's also had people who've come throwing rocks and throwing curses. So sometimes in our times of distress, you'll have people that the Lord will send to bring encouragement that are sent to encourage you but not go with you. Amen? And then there are sometimes the enemy sends people to definitely discourage you by throwing rocks. Now, they may not be physical rocks. They might be spiritual rocks, right? But it's meant to kill, steal, and destroy. How many people know the devil does not want you to be successful? He does not want you to be victorious. It says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? So we don't have to be worried about the stones that the devil tries to throw. You know why? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And if you go on to verse 27, it says this. Now it happened when David had come to Mahanaim that Shebo, the son of Nahash, Rabbah of the people of Ammon, Machir, the son of Emil from Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gilead from Rogalim. Probably really not doing a good job with these names. Listen to what they brought. They brought beds and basin, earthen vessels and wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans, lentils, parched seed, honey, curds, sheep, and cheese of herd, for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So what did God do? God provided more than enough. Say more than enough. More than enough for David and his household. What was brought to him sustained him until he was able to return home. That's powerful. God cares about us when we're in times of distress, when we're in times of need. Amen? He has not forgotten you. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. If you're going through a hard time in your life, look for the miracles of God that he is going to bring to you. He will bring to you if you are faithful to him. What if David had never gotten to the top of the mountain and got over? He wouldn't have found Ziba, right? Ziba was waiting on the other side. Sometimes we have to get to a certain place by faith because our miracle or our provision is waiting right there. That's why we never give up. We never give up. We don't give up on finances. We don't give up on people. We don't give up on miracles because we know this next mountain might be the one. He had to get to Mahanaim, right? David had to get there because that's where all of these men with all of these goods were waiting. They were waiting for him. What if he hadn't gotten there? Do you see why it's so important to keep going in the hard times? Don't quit. Don't just sit down and throw a fit and whine and cry. Can I tell you? That will do nothing but put hardship on your body. Amen? So keep focused. keep believing, because God has more than enough for you to live in your life. Not just for you, but for your family and beyond. Somebody say amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we thank you that we can live in the more than enough. We praise you, Lord, for these stories that you have placed in these different circumstances in these people's lives, Father, as we've read over the past few weeks. You have provided every single time more than enough to sustain them, more than enough to help them to keep going, more than enough to provide for them and their families and beyond. And we thank you today, Father, that as tithers, as givers, we live in that abundant life that you promised. So today we speak to every seed that is sown, and we speak to you and we say, you flourish. You are a harvest of blessings that will keep producing over and over and over again. And Father, we pray that you would touch our minds and our eyes and our ears and help us not to get so set in only being able to be blessed one way. I pray, Father, that we would open our imaginations to see all the ways that you are able to provide exceedingly and abundantly above. God, I thank you and I praise you for blessing every seed that is sown today. Bless the sower 100-fold. And we thank you, Father, that we are blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Praise Jesus. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are continuing on our message entitled God's Big Ten. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there to Exodus chapter 20. We've got, you know, a lot of scriptures to look at today. How many believe if you go to the gym, it's important to use the tools that are in the gym, right? Like the barbells and the rowing machine and the stationary bike and all that stuff there is not just to admire and look at and take a selfie with. Well, this is right here, your book, the book in your hand, the Bible, that's our gym equipment, right? And if we're not using it, it's not going to work. Amen, right? So, and it helps to have a trainer, right? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the fivefold ministry, the pastor, teacher, prophet, evangelist, apostle, right? And but you, somebody say, I have a responsibility and a right to know for myself what's in the book. What's in the book? That way, if someone is teaching something that's not in the book, then you know that I don't need to receive that, right? How many know it's important? You don't have to receive anything anybody ever prophesies over you or anything anybody ever prays over. Just because it's a prayer or a prophecy, it needs to bear witness with your own spirit and what you know is in the Word of God. Amen? Even if they have a prophet card and 2.2 million followers or whatever, right? If it's not in the Bible, then you don't have to, follow that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're here to get into the Word of God and find out what's in it. And I was challenged by David Barton to, I love Flashpoint and Victory News on the Victory Network. And he's such a great biblical historian. And he was talking about how many ministers probably should just do a series on something like the Ten Commandments. And I had, you know, we've been a church now for 12 and a half years, and I don't think I've ever done a whole series on the Ten Commandments, right? And so here we are. Somebody say, here we are, right? It's good to go over these things so that we know what's in the book, what's important to God. Some might say, yeah, but Pastor Steve, the Ten Commandments is in the First Covenant, the Old Testament. But if you really take a minute to look at them, Let's talk about number one. Who can holler out the first commandment? Lacey said it. You shall have no other gods. So did that change? check your heart. Does that still feel right? Somebody say, that just, like this jacket, it seems to fit. How about number two? No idols, right? You don't make a statue and bow down to it. Does that sound still in 2025? Does that still sound accurate to your, check your spirit, check what you know in the Word of God? Yes, right? How about the next one? Say it loud, what is it? You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Right? And we've taught, you know, messages on these things going forward. Does that still sound appropriate for the church of 2025? Yes. What's the next one? Honor or remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Oh, Pastor Steve, I'd rather be fishing today. I'd rather be sleep. It's spring forward. I'd rather be in bed. We're not under the law. Does it still sound appropriate to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Somebody say yes, right? Amen? What's the next one? Honor your father and mother. And it continues there. So your life will be long. Does that still sound reasonable? That's one thing I try to ask myself, whether it's in business or ministry. Sometimes a customer will call me like they did on a Friday night. They had a customer contact me, text me on a Friday night. We do a pest control business. I'm not selling pest control to you. I'm just giving this as a testimony, right? I'm here to preach, but this fits. I had a customer call me and say, hey, my restaurant still has mice Friday night at 7:30. Come back and fix it. You didn't do your job, basically. And I decided, you know what? Based on my relationship with you and what I've already told you about your restaurant, that just doesn't sound like a reasonable request for me to come see you on a Friday night. We had a conversation, but how many know when we get to the Word of God, does it sound reasonable? That's a good thing to answer, to ask yourself. Does that sound like something that's reasonable that God would ask of me? To honor my father and mother. Somebody say, yes. Yes, right? What's the next one? You shall not murder. Oh, Pastor Steve, that is so Old Testament. No, it is not, right? How about the next one? You shall not commit adultery. Oh, Pastor Steve, that is so narrow-minded. So narrow-minded. No, to me, as a believer in Jesus Christ, someone who's born again, knows the Bible, I'd say that sounds reasonable. I think to Shelley, that particular one, Steve, I expect you to be faithful to me. That's because we did walk the aisle. This is the one we're going to talk about today, so we'll come back to that. But that's just kind of, you know, I think in our country right now, I love the term, we're coming back to common sense. Well, how many know there is biblical common sense? These are common sense life practices that are vital to any civilization for there to be peace and harmony and, right? What's the next one? You shall not steal. And there are places right here in town that they will not prosecute right now. The district attorney in certain counties will not prosecute someone for walking into a store and raking everything off into a basket and hauling it out and c'est la vie. That's nuts, man. Does thou shalt not steal, does that still sound reasonable? Right? Hallelujah. What's the next one? You shall not bear False witness, right? Being truthful. Honesty, truth. Not lying to people or lying from a witness stand in court. Are these things, does that sound like a reasonable request from our Heavenly Father? Is that something we can do? Amen. Especially now. As somebody say, especially nowadays. See, the farther we go in time, the closer we need to get to Jesus, not farther away. Amen. And nowadays, we'll come back to this one again in a couple weeks, but lying is just socially acceptable. Right? Even in high places of leadership. And they'll cover each other up with lies. And they'll tell another lie to cover up that lie, and another lie to cover up that lie, and create their own version of the truth. It's absolutely destructive. Right? So does that sound reasonable? Is that a reasonable request from a loving Heavenly Father? Somebody say yes and amen, right? And then finally, you shall not covet, right? And covet is a strong desire, and that in itself is not a bad thing. But when I'm coveting and wanting what's yours, that's where it gets way off track. Amen? Socialism is a form of coveting. You have too much, we're going to take from what is yours and give it to everyone else. Does this sound like a reasonable thing for God to say, you shall not covet? Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, today we're going to focus in. Well, let's look at Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40 first. Well, I guess it's not first, it's second or whatever, but... It says this, one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love." Somebody say, this is a love thing. This is not a do and don't thing. This is a love thing. Who do you love? "You shall love the Lord your God with all," somebody say, "all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first," say first, "and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love," say love, right, "your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets." So they're like hangers, right? And the curtains of all these commandments hang on the love rod. Okay? But notice here the order. Somebody say order. Order. See, because the social progressive, so-called progressive church has it backwards. The progressive church that's conformed to culture instead of Christ would say, oh, no, no, you love people first. And then that's a good example of to others of loving God, because loving people first means, therefore, that you love God. No, 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 no. Somebody say, no, you love God first. Love the truth first. Love the Bible first. And then you will be more effective in loving people. Because if you don't do that, you'll get things upside down and backwards and start treating people's beliefs and philosophies like they are as important as the Bible. Because, well, we don't want to offend anyone. Well, some people are getting offended or not getting offended right to hell. They need to have the truth of the word of God preached. So we love Jesus first. And by the way, Jesus is a people. And he's the number one people. Hallelujah. Say it out loud. This is a love thing. I love God. I love God. I love God. I love God. And I love you, but I love him more. I'll say that. I love you, but I love him more. See, when I was a younger man, a few years ago, there was this little thing going around with the young adults. We had a young adults group that we went with. And some of them would say, especially the young ladies, they would say, you know, I just want to find a man that loves Jesus even more than I love him. Oh, that sounded so Hallmark, right? It sounds so nice. Lord, just give me, from a woman, just give me a man that loves Jesus more than I love him. Right? Well, no. The best thing to pray is this. Give me someone that loves God more than they love me. Say amen. Right? Now, if you find that, and you will, single people, right, if you desire, then that is gold. Someone that loves God, let me say it this way, not loves the ministry more. God is not the ministry. God is not business. God is not his plan for your life. Yeah, I'd like to be there, hon, but I've got 17 more, meetings to hold. Loving God first. No, that's not what it means. Loving him first means my devotional time with him, my obedience to him, right? My devotional time in the Word of God is not to prepare for this. This comes out of that, right? But it doesn't replace it, not by a long shot. Hallelujah, right? And that brings us to today's commandment of the day. Verse 14 in Exodus 20, you shall not commit adultery. Somebody say, you shall not commit adultery. But well, you could say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm not married, so therefore I can't commit adultery. Right? Because that's, the definition of it is breaking wedlock. Voluntary, this is from dictionary.com, right? This part. The first one is from the concordance. This one is from dictionary. Voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and someone other than their lawful spouse. So one could be married and the other not married, right? Or they're both married to someone else. This is called adultery. It's destructive, it's deadly, it's evil. And the I like the Shemash says it this way, it's called betrayal. Betrayal of the marriage relationship. God hates it. He absolutely abhors it and hates it. Amen. And the Shemash, goes into some more detail about saying it to the point of, from in the Shemash, it says, if you can't be faithful to your spouse, then you can't be faithful to God. Is there? But I would even tend to say it now. I'm not saying I'm as brilliant as some of those people, but I would say it this way. I would reverse that. If you're not faithful to Jesus, you're probably not going to be faithful to anybody else. Does that sound right? If I'm not faithful to Jesus Christ, why would I be faithful to my job or to you or to my spouse? So it starts, somebody say it starts with Jesus. Everything starts with him. Everything does. So keeping my relationship in line and intact with Jesus Christ will affect every other relationship that I have. It's like a cross, right? It runs, the vertical relationship with him will affect every other relationship that I have on this planet. Especially my most precious human relationship is my wife. And yet she's the one sometimes that, man, we have words. We don't have arguments, we have discussions. We're different human beings that live in the same house, raise a beautiful family, but sometimes we just don't agree about something, right? So you don't go into arguing and berating and all that kind of stuff. No, you just remember, hey, listen, back up, back up, back up, whoa! And just be really, really quick to forgive. And not hold grudges and not insist on doing it my way, right? And she is wonderful. We have had, we celebrated 25 years together in February, And it's been a wonderful adventure. But in a marriage, there's going to be times where you just don't agree. It's because you're two different people, and a male and a female, right? And so you just have to live together in patience and love and forgiveness and just... And focus on what you love, right? Somebody say amen. And there is so much to love. And I also ask myself often, whenever I'm tested in that area, I'll ask myself, Steve, can you imagine what it would be like to be married to you? And that generally cools me down right there. I'm like, you know what? This woman deserves an award, okay? She just does, right? Hallelujah. But I want to look at, you know, this morning I had it all dialed in, and the Lord made an adjustment in the flow of the scriptures here. But I want to focus on the term, we are joined together with him. And really, in a marriage, you're joined, and whether this applies to you or not, this is great, 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 in terms of if you're married or, you know, whatever. This is great stuff to know, because God's going to send you people to teach, right, and to share with. But it all begins with being joined together with Jesus. And a marriage union is, you know, in terms of in Christianity, in the, you know, according to the Word of God, you're being joined together in Christ, in God, right? So it's way, 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 way more than a legal contract. I was telling an associate in business that the other day, a young lady, just a really beautiful woman, and she's engaged, and they're both in the business world, and she loves God, and he does too. But I was reminded on a phone call, we were chatting about business things, and she started talking about this. And I was just like, just make sure, because she knows what we do here and we're ministering. I was like, just make sure that this is not a business agreement between you two. This is a covenant between you and God. This is for life. Hallelujah. Amen, right? And Proverbs 6:32 says this, whoever commits adultery, somebody say whoever, right? So this isn't limited to one particular type of person. This is, a lot of things in the Bible say whoever believes, right? Well, this one says whoever commits adultery. Well, that would have to be a married person, as we saw here, right? Having a sexual relationship with someone who's not their spouse, right? So whoever does that lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. And I've heard it over the years where I'm not talking about the world now. I'm talking about Christian people who will take that type of thing and spiritualize it. Oh, yeah, but Pastor, this person is way, way, way better for me than my spouse. And they'll spiritualize it and go into this type of a relationship thinking somehow God is involved in it. That sounds like the devil. How do we know that? Because we've been in the gym. We've been in the gym. We know that's a lie. Somebody say, know the lies. Even if they come in disguise, which they always do. Right? We have to be aware of the lies. I've had people tell me in church, not this church, but in church over the years, I've had people tell me, well, Pastor, the reason we're just living together is because we get more money from the government if we're not married. I've heard that one multiple times. And I'm like, brother, you'd rather be right with God than with the government. One gentleman came to me when we were doing children's ministry. And he wanted to pray for his cousin or sister or somebody, a family member who is in a lesbian lifestyle. And I was like, and this sometimes the Holy Ghost calls you out without even knowing that I don't even know. But I'm like, brother, yes, let's pray. But you got to remember this, to God, sin is sin, right? And whether it's someone living together with someone or that, sometimes we just get so, oh, it's that one thing. Sin is sin, brother. And he just kind of looked down and he goes, well, we've been talking about getting married. Him and this lady have been living together, not married, raising, you know, blended kids, blended family, living together, serving in the church. I'm like, brother, we'll pray for your cousin. But first, this week, you guys come to see us in our office. We'll do a wedding right in the office. Bring the kids. It's like, we need to get this right. Yeah, but gosh, we just get so much more money if we stay single. Oh my word, man. Does this mean anything to you, church? This, right? That's what, you know, one of the things we've been talking about and I've been learning, you know, in the Torah portions and so forth is that we need to treat God's time and God's word and God's church and his Bible as special. A lot of the church has gotten way too casual about Sunday, about it being in the Word. And if you're way too casual about how you approach God, then you're going to be way too casual in how you approach marriage. Danger, danger. Come on, right? Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Genesis. If you have your Bible, open it to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to turn to a couple places this morning. Genesis is way back, right? Way back. But to God, it's like a week ago. If to God a day is as a thousand years, right? That's what the Word says. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. And the Lord God caused a great sleep to fall on Adam, the first two people, the first man he created, right? And he slept, and he took one of his ribs from his side, right? He took, somebody say, from his side. And I love one of my mentors, Pastor Brad Makowski, when he does weddings, he'll say this. Notice that God didn't take her from his head to dominate him, or from his foot to be walked on by him, but from his side to be protected by him and to be by his side. I mean, I think that is such a great picture of the divine plan, right? He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man, and Adam said, "This now is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his..." And you can even see how the devil takes something like this and perverts it with all the transgender stuff. He's so sick, the devil, right? We are from one flesh. But there is difference. Definitely, how many know Adam noticed? This is different. Whoa, man. Right? Hallelujah. "Therefore, a man shall leave..." Somebody say, a man. Why did God be this specific? Because he knew 2025 was coming and beyond. "A man..." Somebody say, a man. "Shall leave his father and mother." Well, Pastor Steve, we're living with my folks. No, you're not. If you have to do something temporary... But you don't get married and move in with your parents and bring the dogs and drive the cars and eat the food. Somebody say, no. If you're not ready yet, then that means you ain't ready yet. A man shall leave his father and mother when he gets married, right? "And be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." In verse 25, "They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." There's no shame in marriage. You'd be surprised how many people think just sex in general is evil and dirty. Even married people that are Christians, they were taught that sex is evil and dirty. No, it is not. When you're married, that's what makes... I mean, there's no other person in the world... That's okay with. That's one of the main things that makes marriage different. Somebody say, wink, yeah, yeah, yes. So it's not dirty in marriage. And that's one of the most, you know, challenging things for, not challenging, but awkward maybe at first when you first get married, is it's like you were told no, 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 no all your life. And now it's yes, yes. Glory to God. And it's from God. This is a God thing. Amen. Within the marriage. This is another example of how the devil wants to, the whole controversy about borders. There should be borders around your marriage. Lines you do not cross. Nobody else crosses those lines. This is my wife and I's territory. No one else. In this, I brought this marriage manual with me. This is one of the portions of the vows that husbands and wives should take. It's crazy. Another one of those ways that it's gotten way too casual in marriage ceremonies, where the bride and groom say, oh, no, no, we don't want you, minister, to give us our vows. We want to make our own vows. I had a bride once argue with me about, don't you dare tell me to submit to him in the vows. And another one, she wrote her own vows, and part of the vows was, well, sometimes I want to stab you. In her vows, right there. It's like, you don't know what's going to come out of their mouth, and this is their wedding, but we're still, when I do it, I'm like, okay, it's your wedding, but we're still going to say these words. And part of it is this. Will thou love him or her, right? Will you honor and keep him or her, right? In sickness and in health, forsaking all others, right? Keep them only unto yourself as long as you both shall live. Forsaking all others. Somebody say, forsaking all others. I can tell you this. Shelly and I have been married 25 years, and I notice when there's someone that I think is cute, I still notice. I'm not dead. But I don't ask for her number. I don't ask for her, you know, her Instagram. I don't reach out to her on Facebook. That is called borders. I have, you know, I'm not an ugly guy. I'm not terribly awful looking. And I'm still in business sometimes. There's someone who's 20, 25 years younger than me, and I can tell they kind of like me. Maybe it's a father figure thing, I don't know. But instantly, I have to say no to myself. Especially if I think they're attractive. This is real life stuff. I'm not going to go have, let's just meet for coffee. Let's just, you know, let's go have lunch. Just the two of us. No! Forsaking all others. You see, adultery doesn't happen in just a, oh, how'd that happen? How'd that happen? Rod Parsley says it this way. No, you dug a swimming pool with a teaspoon and you climbed up the high dive and dove in. little decisions. My phone, I'll tell you this. I don't have anything that's just Steve only electronically. Right? Anything that I go to on my phone is seen by everybody. We have a family plan, actually, on purpose. It's called cover yourself. I don't have these secret places. I'm not bragging about me. I'm just telling you how I maintain this. Right? I don't meet with people privately, one-on-one, for lunch or coffee or this and that. Because why? Because that, you know, I even had in the ministry... I even had, because what year is it again? 2025. I had a guy once that I took, this was years ago in the ministry, and he was having issues in his life, and I was like, man, when I was a kid, my grandpa would get me a bucket of chicken, we'd go watch airplanes take off, and it's like, brother, let's get some chicken and go watch airplanes. Just talk. Brothers. Turns out, this guy thought we were on a date. Told me he thought, well, you know, Pastor Steve, reason I'm here is because I like men and I think you're attractive. It comes back to the book. What does the book say? He sent them out two by two. Even in this modern era we live in, we have to be watching it, man. And I forgot I was a Christian at that point. Remember that? The date is over, Chuck. Right? Yeah, I threatened him, which I think he liked. And then he just kept calling my house, Steve, I didn't. It's like, brother, shut up. The date is over. But what I'm saying is we have to really be mindful of these things nowadays. Not just but just in purity, right? And be, have our guard up. Somebody say, have your guard up. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Do you have some more time? We really, you know, I don't know if it's an hour behind or an hour ahead, but we got an extra hour, right? Just kidding. Ephesians chapter 5. There we go. Verses 20, somebody's like, I want more of this, Pastor Steve. I want more. So this is the Bible, right? Submitting to one another in the fear of God, verse 2, 21. Ephesians 5, 21 through, or 20, 22 through 33. Here's the one all the ladies love. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Well, how many know it's easy? It's a lot easier for a woman to submit to someone that she knows loves her and isn't berating her. Jesus talked about, you know, and again, Jesus' ministry was during the Old Covenant, right? So Jesus said, if you marry someone who was married, that's adultery, right? And that's Old Covenant stuff. This is one that I pulled out, but I want to keep your finger there, but go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Keep your finger there. So we need to see what Jesus said. I don't want to just tell you about it. Let's look at it, right? But remember, this is Old Covenant stuff. Now, it doesn't mean that adultery is all Old Covenant. But it's important to know that when somebody, first of all, if someone did commit adultery, they can still be restored. I've known people that have. And they repented. But if they didn't repent, they acted like it was okay. You should have the fear of God. They should, you know. But if they repented, got right with God. The other thing is, what if someone divorced somebody else? And there's questions like this in the body of Christ. Well, so-and-so divorced me. That means now whoever I marry, I'm like damaged goods. That's a lie from hell. Right? Genesis 2, 21 through 25. I'm sorry. I'm skipping around here. I'm in Mark 10. I got two notes pages here. Mark chapter 10, verse 2. The Lord's got us going somewhere here, right? The Pharisees came out and asked Jesus a question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. And Jesus answered and said to him, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. The body of Christ today, again, back to the way too casual thing, has become way too casual about marriage. Even if it's a mutual agreement. Hey, listen, we just don't really love each other anymore. So we're just going to divorce each other and marry someone else. Ugh, that makes me sick to my stomach, man. There are really two reasons for divorce. Unfaithfulness, adultery. Adultery, it's over, man. But even in that, there's been times, again, where the person that's in that relationship will repent and be broken. And I've seen it where God restores the marriage. And the other thing is, if the guy is beating you up, physically assaulting the woman, there's abuse in the marriage, game over, man. In fact, he should be in jail. Well, yeah, but Pastor Steve, the word says, I just can't. Yes, you can. Get some help, get some counseling, right? But you don't have to deal with that. That's wicked, man. God isn't asking you to live in that environment. Amen, right? Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, this is huge right here. Let not man separate. That's called borders. Don't let anybody else, and we have to watch. I've heard of people where the one of the mothers or fathers or is still meddling in the marriage. Well, you know, you could have done better than that. Danger, man. Somebody say, cut the umbilical cord. If mom needs to be put in her place, or dad, or brother, or sister, or friend, on Facebook or whatever, put them in their place. Unfollow. Why? Because you're protecting your marriage. Hallelujah, right? Let not man separate. Let me just look here really quick. Yeah. But if in the case where someone divorces, they got divorced, something bad happened, it doesn't mean you're damaged goods. It hurts your heart. But you can marry again. Somebody say, that's okay. That's blessed of God. Don't look at it like these people are both. I had a couple come to me years ago that I knew were married Christian people. And that was bothering me. I was like, because, man, I just don't really know about this. And Brother Copeland brought this up. He said, you know, when Jesus was going through this, it was in the time of the old covenant. Right? Now, on this side of the resurrection and all that, if there is a divorce that happens, right, and then later down the line, I met someone else who also maybe had a divorce or this or that, not that they're wooing them from their spouse. That's what we're talking about, right? But God can do that. The Holy Ghost can do that. Hallelujah. Somebody say, that's okay, right? And it's important that is said. But back to Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33. So wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So there it comes back to loving God more than as to the Lord. Just ask yourself, does that sound like something Jesus would ask me to do? Right? The Holy Ghost gives you wisdom in all things, right? For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Somebody say, in everything. Husbands, love your wives. I got to move here, right? Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. Somebody say, husbands, love your wife. Your wife, not someone else's wife. Yeah, you know, I like my wife, but boy, sister so-and-so, Lord Jesus, oh, shambala, ba ba ba. No, no, you better cast the devil out. Because he knows what you like. He knows the type you like. And he will time it in certain points of your life where maybe there's a little argument going on, or maybe for her, she's felt a little neglected. And for her, it'll be an emotional thing. For him, it's she's hot, and she's boosting my ego a little bit. She's giving me some attention. These are danger signs. Somebody say, come back together. Hallelujah. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That includes husbands, all of us guys, we have to not be scrolling through our phones, looking at pictures, watching videos. Right? I do not have private search on my phone. That's a thing, if you didn't know. And it's dangerous. I don't have, like I said, I'm not on Instagram. We do have Instagram accounts, but I have people that do it for me. Because it's an on guard thing, man. Oh, it's just ministry, and she needs ministry, man. No, not me. Not me. I love, you know, Terry Seville Foy, Pastor Jerry, or Jerry Seville's daughter, was called and had opportunity to minister to the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders and help them and build them up in their faith and see a bigger picture for their life. I can't say I'm called to do that too, man. I'm going to follow every one of them. Oh, you can't. You see, so many people take Jesus and make it a permission to sin thing. Somebody say, N-O, devil. Oh. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Sanctified and cleansed. Somebody say, I am sanctified and cleansed from all immorality, from adultery, right? That he might present to her himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he should be holy and without blemish. This is why, you know, a lot of marriages have the bachelor party, the bachelorette party, and they go out and sin. Because it's the last opportunity for you to look at certain things. Well, no, if you're sowing that seed, it ain't going nowhere. There'll be a harvest. even after marriage. Right? So husbands, verse 28, ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Compliment her. Tell her how beautiful she is. Tell her she's the only one for you. Text her throughout the day. Call her throughout the day. You know? And wives, tell us we're the only one for you. Right? Tell us that you love us. We don't need a mother. Husbands need to be reminded of that. She's not your mother. Pick up your socks. Spruce up the bed. Right? And just, we need to be real intentional about telling each other how much we love each other and showing it. Going, just being real deliberate about it. Why? Because there's a devil out there. And she's hot. Right? And my wife is hot. She's the one for me. But we have to be out ahead of these things. Amen. James 1, 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, it gives birth to divorce. Death. So there's a process. There's a process to it. It doesn't just happen. Oh my goodness, how did I get into adultery? No, there was a process. There were little things I was letting in, or they were letting in. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 5. I know we gotta march here. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 27 through 29. You've heard that it was said, Jesus always takes us closer, right? You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's a matter of the heart. Somebody say, it's a matter of the heart. Now look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. I'm flipping to it because I've got a mark, so I'll read ahead here. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. See, so just saying something like, well, I'm not married, so therefore I can just do whatever I want. No, there's things in this book about fornication and immorality in general too, right? That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification. Somebody say sanctification and honor. Treat your marriage like it is very, very precious, very special. Honored. Honor it. Always honor it. Keep it sanctified and cleansed and freed from the trash of the world. It has to be intentional, right? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, somebody say we can do this. These are reasonable things that the Lord asks us to do and has enabled us to do by his Holy Spirit and by a decision of our will, right? But I love, Creflo Dollar shared this a number of years ago, and I've always remembered it. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Why don't I go out and do that? Because I love Jesus. Not because I love Shelley. Now that's a powerful concept to grasp and grasp it now. Why don't I go out and sin? Because I love Shelley more. I do love Shelley. But the reason I don't go do that is not because I love Shelley, but because I love Jesus. My love for Jesus constrains me. Puts a bit in my mouth and pulls my head out of that trash. Hallelujah. Somebody say, his love constrains me. His love constrains me from doing things I know I shouldn't do. Pulls me out and gets me back in the light. Why? Because I love him. I love him. Somebody say, I love him more. I love you more than that, Jesus. That's why I repent of it. Hallelujah. 1 John, we got two more verses here, and they're both just single verses. 1 John 1 through 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. You have a blessed marriage, man. If your relationship with Jesus is right, your spouse may not be in the best mood that day. But if your relationship with Jesus is right, you just love him anyway. And you understand. You understand. He helps you to understand and to pray for him and to encourage him and to not snap at him. Right? And if we do, not if, but maybe when, we repent, we apologize. And we don't apologize like this. Shelley, I'm sorry I did that, but you. Somebody say, forget the but you. Just apologize and move on, right? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Glory to God forevermore. That's why there's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. No matter how ugly it looks or how ugly the sin looks, there's hope for today. Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me of all sin and even the desire for it. Hallelujah. If we're starving that desire, it will die. If we're feeding it, it will grow. That's why what I look at, what I listen to, all this kind of, what I meditate on, I have to be on guard. Because if I'm feeding that, it will grow. And there'll be a harvest. So we feed our faith. Turn the word on. Somebody say, turn the word on. Sometimes I'm a little tired out there, and I've got a day job that I'm driving around town doing projects and serving customers, and I start feeling a little tired, and I just want to listen to sports for a few minutes. And I'll tell you what, sometimes, and it's okay sometimes, but there are times where if I leave it on too long or turn it on when I should have the word on, I'll instantly start feeling critical of others, a little angry, and I feel the lust thing try to come on, like a woman will walk by. Oh, it's why? Because you're hanging out with guys in the locker room, basically. It's what you listen to. And the Lord will instantly check me. Steve, what should you do right now? Turn that off and turn the word back on. And I'll tell you what, instantly, when I turn the word on, hear someone preaching, or instantly, somebody say instantly. It's like you're just transitioned back into victory mode. Why? Because you're walking in the light as he is in the light. And I call Shelly sometimes. Shelly, I'm in a really weird situation here. There's a woman at this house, and she is like a dancer or something. Occasionally you get that in business. So I just want you in my ear while I'm here at this house. Right? And we pray, you know what I'm saying? You keep each other in the loop. You stay connected. You don't try to solve those things on your own, man. Hallelujah. That's why two are better than one, right? My spouse, my wife, is my greatest ally, my greatest prayer partner, two or more. And there's things about me that you'll never have to know because she already knows it. And the devil knows that she knows. Right? And we have that's that power of agreement. In the name of Jesus, we are walking free today. We are walking in victory today. We are walking in Jesus today. Hallelujah. We're protecting that marriage relationship. Hallelujah. And then finally, Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. I love promises like this in the Bible. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. God is able to make him stand. God, say it again. God is able to make me stand. Love is able, God is love, right? To make me stand. Glory to his name forevermore. Let's all stand. Thank you for that extra time today, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. We praise you, and we praise you, and we praise you. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that sanctifies us, that cleanses us, that washes us, and leads us in places and pathways of victory. Places and pathways of victory and obedience. And we bind any unclean spirit that tries to come in our homes, through our phones, through our televisions, through thoughts that come from the devil, through other people. We bind those things in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Holy Ghost, for helping us be attentive to your word, to be quick to respond, whatever the influence is, not just in that realm of sexuality and all that, but other things, fears, worries, depressions, sorrows, strifes, all these things the enemy tries to bring upon us to distract us and steal, kill, and destroy. We shut the door in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that blood of Jesus that is a boundary around our lives. And we will continue to shine for you, Lord, to shine for you, to shine forth for your glory, to follow you every step of the way. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. And Lord, we just declare this by faith in Jesus' name. We forsake all other gods. We forsake all other philosophies. We forsake all other belief systems and commit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and to your word. And we know that you'll be faithful to help us with other relationships that we have, especially that marriage relationship. And we just take a moment, Lord, to check our hearts. If there's anyone that's ever sinned against us in that way, whether it's a spouse or a parent or a grandparent or a minister, and maybe we just need to forgive them. Just say, I forgive. Well, they never apologize, Pastor. It doesn't matter. We forgive because we are commanded to forgive. We forgive them, Father. We pray for them. You'd heal them, set them free. If they're in heaven, whatever they passed on, we forgive them. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. We love you guys.